If you would get your Bibles and turn to the book of Philemon. If you're not sure where that is, well, first, shame on you. But secondly, it's right in front of Hebrews. It's one of those that's just probably one page in your Bible. And when we look at this book, oftentimes what we think of, well, this is just a letter from the Apostle Paul to this one guy. And might think, well, I'll read through this because it's in the Bible and it's in my Bible reading, but maybe not spend a lot of time thinking about it. But there are some things that we can learn from this particular book, and I want us to look at these things. I'll be honest, if the folks at home were looking and saying, you're going to do 25 verses in one Bible class, they would think that was crazy because usually we get two or three verses in a Bible class. But we are going to look at what Paul has to say to Philemon. Certainly, it is good to be here with you this morning. We have looked forward to the opportunity to come. Appreciate the assistance that y'all give us in our work in Malvern. And we enjoy the opportunity to come and speak to you this morning and this evening. And first and foremost, are hopeful that everything is profitable in the service to the Lord. And that's what we look at when we first look at the book of Philemon. You can see there on the screen the word service. I'm not real fancy with PowerPoints. I told somebody the other day, I'm old school, new tools. So if my PowerPoints look like somebody else's overheads, or I'm not even going to say they'll remind you of some of the bed sheets some of y'all saw back in the day. They're not even that particular, but hopefully they will help to get across the points that we're going to make. Of course, the book starts with an introduction from Paul, and it reminds us that when Paul wrote this letter, he was a prisoner. He was in a Roman jail because he had been preaching the gospel and made the Jews mad, is typically an easy way to remember why he was there. He was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Jewish leaders, I should specify, were not happy with that, and thus he was in prison as a result of that. And it's my understanding that this letter was written not necessarily in the time that he was in prison that we read of in the book of Acts, but later imprisonment. He was in prison several times. But he introduces it and specifies who he is, and later on he gives a signification to Philemon that would let him know that it is the Apostle Paul that wrote these things. But he wrote to Philemon and sent this letter, and he makes mention of several who are there working with him. And we want to just basically note that even though Paul was in prison, he was still busy doing everything he could in preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We read beginning in verse 1 and through verse 3, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved brother and fellow worker, to Apphia, our sister, and to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And this greeting is very similar to the greetings we see from the Apostle Paul in almost all of his epistles. Greeting, stating who he is and making greeting to the one he writes to and to others that might be associated with this one. Interesting, we read here it was the church in your house. We don't do church in our house very much in this country anymore. I know there are places in the world where they do, but evidently this is a designation of a particular group in the area that meets there in the house of Philemon, whether this is the entire congregation in that city, or it's another group in that city, or it may just be a small assembly of a larger group that met with Philemon on a regular basis for extra study. That would probably be more the kind of situation where we would see folks meeting in homes today, unless they were starting a new work, and certainly new works often start out that way. But it is a reminder that, and I don't want to go too far here, I may get into what I'm going to talk about this morning in the sermon, but it's a reminder that one of the first places that we need to pay attention to the teaching of God is in our homes. We need to have God in our homes. And we need to take advantage of the homes that we have to spread and teach the gospel and talk to others about the Word of God. Evidently, Philemon was a very useful person in that particular area. In fact, the next few things that the Apostle Paul has to say about him in verses 4 through 7 talk about the fact that he was a servant. And I know when we read this letter, we know it's about Onesimus and sending him back, but there are several things that I think we can glean from here beyond just that. We read beginning in verse 4, "I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus, toward all the saints. And I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. For I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love, because of the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother." Now, if we're just reading through this in a Bible reading, quickly going through, we might overlook some of the things that Paul has to say here and not pick up on the fact that Paul talks about Philemon, about his service. Philemon was a servant of the Lord. And Paul knew that he was a servant of the Lord because of the service that he performed. Okay, that's an obvious statement there, but sometimes we overlook the fact the only way people know the kind of person that we are is by looking at the things that we do. Sometimes we develop the attitude, well, I attend services so everybody knows that I'm a Christian. Everybody's aware that I'm a child of God and that I'm a helpful person and I'm trying to get to heaven and I'm trying to tell other people how to get to heaven. Do they really know that? Simply by seeing you sit in the pew at assemblies and at Bible class? Paul knew what kind of person Philemon was because of the actions in Philemon's life. Because Philemon took the opportunity to help others, to serve them. We've already made note, he had a group at least of some sort meeting in his house, an assembly, the same word that's used in reference to the various churches that are mentioned in the other epistles. But also, he helped those that traveled through from time to time, it seems. Because of this, Paul made note of his life of service. In fact, he offers praise. Those things that he says there in verse 4, "I thank my God always in making mention of you in my prayers," those are some praise statements from the Apostle Paul. When Philemon read this, knowing the Apostle Paul, knowing the kind of person that the Apostle Paul was, he was honored because of what Paul had to say. Now, I'm not going to say that lifted him up into some grand place and put him on a pedestal or anything, but as we might feel honored when somebody gives us an attaboy, or somebody says, "You did a good job," or "I appreciate what you have done for so-and-so." Philemon would have felt that rise in his attitude about himself just a little bit. But Paul didn't give just blanket praise. Paul gave praise because of what Philemon had done in the past, because of his actions. And so we recognize that Paul acknowledges his service and praise him because Philemon had helped so many. We read in several different places in Scripture about those who are helpful to ones who are traveling. We read of that in the epistles of John. He makes mention of that in at least the latter two of his short epistles. Those who helped the ones who were traveling from place to place. It might take just a moment to stop and consider what they're talking about. We in this country are pretty much established in where we are. There may be one or two here that remembers at least tangentially when we had circuit preachers and we had those that traveled from town to town preaching the gospel because there weren't so many of the located areas and congregations like we have today. More likely in this country, what we have is a located place where we're all living here somewhere nearby. Preacher lives somewhere close by. He's here every Sunday and every Wednesday night. He's here during the week, available to help and work with the congregation. That's why we call him a located preacher. But at this time, we had a whole lot more people that were like the Apostle Paul and like Timothy and Titus and Barnabas and Luke And while we don't have a lot of record of it, like Peter and Andrew, John, James got beheaded before he had a chance to do much. They were traveling preachers. They would go somewhere and preach for a while, and then they would move on. They were spreading the gospel throughout the world. In fact, the Apostle Paul says, by the time he wrote to the Galatian brethren, the gospel had been spread to all the known world. How was that done? It was done by traveling from place to place. And how did those men travel from place to place? They didn't have a nice Hyatt or Holiday Inn in every town. When they went from one town to the other, they had to find some place to stay. And in thinking about some of the things along those lines, we might think about some of the Old Testament stories. You remember the story of Lot? Now, the story of Lot's a very sad story. That righteous man, as Peter says, vexed himself by living amongst the wicked there in Sodom and Gomorrah. But when the angels, the messengers of God, came to those cities to get Lot and his family out, Lot took them into his home rather than letting them stay out in the middle of the town square. We have other instances of that in other places in the Old Testament. That's what we're talking about. Maybe not to the exact same extent, but Philemon, when men or sometimes even women were traveling through, but in particular, the brethren that came passing through to stop and preach or going on to another place, when they came into town, they knew that they could call on Philemon for a place to stay. Philemon was the guy that said, okay, why don't you just come over and spend the night with me, and that way you got a nice place to rest. We'll get you some breakfast. We'll get you some supper tonight, breakfast in the morning, place to clean up, and that way you're refreshed and ready to move on your way whenever it's time to go. Are we people of service like that? Are we that way? And once again, I acknowledge, we don't have the same sort of situation they had then. But that's what we're talking about when we talk about Christians need to be hospitable. That's what we mean by being a person of service. We give of what we have to help others. Sometimes that may be somebody traveling through needs a place to stay. Certainly we could provide a better place than the Walmart parking lot. Now, it may not be as private as maybe a hotel room might be. But if there's opportunity, if there's need, are we willing to do that? We don't mind grandkids coming. I've never met a grandmother yet that minded her grandkids coming for 2 or 3 days. Grandpas usually like them to hang around a little bit too. They'll even let their kids come and stay if they bring the grandkids. I learned from my mom a long time ago. She didn't want me to come see her anymore. She wanted my kids to come, but she let me come as long as I brought them. I don't see her as much now as I did when the kids were at home. It could be because they live so far away, though. But we ought to be people of service, willing to take the things that God's blessed us with and give them to help others. Now, in our day and age, the best thing to do might be to provide them a place in a hotel and go out to eat with them and talk to them in that manner or have a meal together or something because that's just more along the lines of how our society has grown to be. But there was a time when if you wanted somewhere to stay in town, you really wanted to know somebody in that town. We need to be people of service. And as we talk about Philemon and him being a person of service, we continue reading beginning there in verse 8 and reading through verse 12. Paul says, therefore, though I have enough confidence in Christ to order you to do what is proper, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, since I am such a person as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whom I've begotten in my imprisonment, who was formerly useless to you, but now is useful to you and to me. I've sent him back to you in person, that is, sending my very heart. I know that breaks up a sentence in some of the translations, but we're going to stop right there because this kind of goes, these four verses here kind of go in both places. Paul says, because I know the kind of servant that you are, I can send Onesimus back to you with confidence because that's told me what kind of person you are. That's let me know that when Onesimus gets there, you're going to be kind and generous to him. Now, stop and think for just a moment. Onesimus was a slave. And I know that's one of those evil words that we can't say anymore in the world because somebody will get offended, but that's exactly what Onesimus was. He was a slave. He was one who belonged to Philemon. Now, he may have been a paid slave. He may have been in the family for, you know, a long period of time, but still, he was looked upon by society and probably by Philemon at least, to begin with, as property. He was his. But Paul says here that because of the kind of person that you are, because you help the brethren when they travel by, you're generous and you offer refreshment and help to them. I know when I send Onesimus to you now and you find out about him, you're going to see him a little bit differently than you did before. Then he makes his appeal based on what had happened to Onesimus. Now, Onesimus had run away from Philemon. And somehow or another had found himself in the area where Paul was. And as a result of that, Paul being the person that he was, he'd learned the gospel. Obey. That's why the Apostle Paul calls him his son or child in the faith. And now he's going to send him back to Philemon because he says, I know what kind of person you are. But there's a couple other things that pop up here when we look at this, not just about service, but also about authority. And we'll look just a little more in a moment about rights. Paul makes a statement here that lets us know that both he and Onesimus knew what kind of authority Paul had as an apostle. And as I was reading and thinking about this and going back through it again last night and considering these things, this is at least a small part of what we see the authority that was given to the apostles even as early as when we see the great confession from Peter, and Jesus told them the kind of authority that they would have. Well, maybe not directly related. This is a result of that kind of authority. Paul says, I am Paul the aged. I'm an apostle. And I could order you. Though I have enough confidence in Christ or authority or power in Christ, I could order you to do what I think is proper. I could tell you, Philemon, if you don't take this man back as a brother and start treating him as a brother, then you're not the Christian that you ought to be, and you need to be condemned for that action. We might think, well, that's just putting a little bit too much authority on yourself there. But remember, this is Paul, inspired speaker, selected directly from all of the people in the world at that time by Christ for the purpose of spreading and teaching the gospel to the Gentiles. Paul had the same authority that Peter had. He had the same word, the same inspiration that all the rest of the apostles had. And he says, as a result of that, the confidence and such that I have in Christ, I could order you to do this. But I think it better that I send him back and you decide to do this on your own. Because I know the servant that you are. That leads us into the next things that we consider. Rights. Now, Paul told Philemon that Onesimus was going to be a much more useful person. I've sent him back to you in person. That is, sent him my very heart in verse 12 and verse 13, whom I wish to keep with me so that on your behalf he might minister to me in my imprisonment for the gospel. But without your consent, I did not want to do anything. So that your goodness would not be in effect by compulsion, but of your own free will. Paul said, Philemon, I've got a use for Onesimus. I'm in prison. I can't get out and go and preach and teach, and I can't go into the marketplace and call people somewhere so that they can hear the gospel. But you know what? Onesimus could do that for me. I could really use him. And as an apostle, I have the right and the authority that I could do that. I could just send this letter to you, Philemon, telling you that I've got your servant Onesimus up here and he's going to serve me. He's going to help me in preaching the gospel and be done with it. But Paul said, just because I have the right and the ability to do that does not mean I ought to do that. And I've got the word right up here, but maybe I should have changed it to leadership, because that's part of what Paul is showing here. He's showing leadership. He's showing that as a leader, as a teacher, as one who is trying to help you to grow and come to a better understanding of the will of the Lord and how to serve Him, there are certain ways that I need to do things. And just because I can do something doesn't mean that I ought to do it. And we could get off on a tangent here and spend 2 or 3 weeks discussing about all the things that are going on in the world today, because persons who could do something went ahead and did them instead of going about the right means of teaching, instructing, and allowing the right things to take place in the right time and in the right way. We need to be careful that we don't abuse the rights and privileges that we have been given by God, and that we recognize that each one has free will as to how they will serve the Lord or whether they will serve the Lord. Now, while our children are still at home and living under our roof, we have the right and responsibility to see to it that they learn the will of the Lord. And so we may, for a long period of time, tell our children, it's time to get up and go to services, and you're going whether you want to go or not. But there comes a point at which we're going to have to stop doing that teaching, and we have to turn them loose and say, I've taught you how you ought to be, what you ought to do. Now you've got to decide for yourself. And if parents knew exactly when that point came and could make sure they had everything set just right up until that point, parents would sleep a whole lot better at night when their kids went off to college. But Paul had confidence in Philemon because of what he'd seen. And that's what we hope to have from our children, from our friends, from the brethren in the congregation, the elders, the preachers, the deacons, the Bible class teachers. They want to see in you the evidence through your service, your actions, your using your abilities, that you have become a dependable part of the local congregation. But we have to learn to leave it up to you. Of course, there's also an image of God seen in here. In verse 15 and 16, for perhaps he was for this reason separated from you for a while so that you would have him back forever. No longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but now much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Now, Paul doesn't just come right out and say, this was the hand of God. But he works his way just about all the way around it. He says, perhaps this is why this happened. And I make notice of this because sometimes we see things take place, and when we look at them from the backside, we say, was God's hand in that? I don't know about the rest of you men, but I sometimes wonder if it was God pushing my sister to bring my wife over to see me that first time. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that he works that directly. He's not doing like he did in days of Abraham and Isaac. But it sure did work out well for me. And I think it worked out well for his cause also. Paul says, and certainly God was still interacting more directly among men at this time. Paul says, maybe here's why this has happened. Maybe the hand of God is in it. Maybe it's just, as some folks would say, fate, destiny. Maybe that's just the way things were going to be. But guess what? As a result of what happened, you've got a better servant than you could have possibly imagined. Because you don't just have a servant. You've got a brother. Based on some of the things that Paul says here in regards to Onesimus and the relationship that he had with Philemon, I have to believe that the relationship between those two men changed drastically when Onesimus returned to Philemon. Where before he was property, a slave, one to be given a task and sent on about his way with no thought more about it, no, that was a great job you did there or anything, to someone that maybe Philemon sat down and talked to Onesimus and told him not only what he wanted him to do, but why he wanted him to do it. What was behind it? What was the purpose? What was going to help? How this could, because now he had a brother rather than just a slave. And, of course, we let our minds wander. We think about things, and I wonder if it's not quite probable that rather than being a slave now, when Onesimus returned to Philemon and he heard what had been going on and about what he had received from the Apostle Paul and the teaching and the kind of person that Onesimus had become, that instead of being a slave, Onesimus became part of the household, part of the family. And certainly, when we look at it in that light and consider, that tells us that there is a way to overcome some of these evils that we have in our world today. If we can teach people the gospel, get them to become Christians first, we can solve just about every problem we have in this world. To some degree, that's what Paul told Philemon. You and Onesimus are going to be better than you ever have been. He also talks about sacrifice, and I've already seen somebody ring a bell. I didn't know whether I'd get through all 25 verses or not. He also talks about sacrifice on his behalf and some sacrifice on the behalf of Philemon. If you regard me as a partner, accept him as you would me. But if he's wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. Not to mention that you owe me even your own self as well. Yes, brother, let me benefit from you and the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Paul said, I will sacrifice so that I can be refreshed through your action. I'll give up so that I can receive. But, Philemon, don't forget, you owe me already. Paul calls upon Philemon for sacrifice and expresses his desire to take sacrifice in regards to this one. But he also, let's see, I skipped a thing there. See, I told you, I can work PowerPoints. I'm a little slow sometimes. He also talks about trust. I'm confident in your obedience. I write to you since I know that you will do even more than what I say. Also, at the same time, prepare me a lodging, for I hope that through your prayers I will be given to you. He makes mention of several who are there working with him in the latter couple of verses. But notice, Paul puts his trust in Philemon. How did he put his trust in Philemon? Because he had seen what Philemon had done. He knew what kind of person that Philemon was by his deeds. some questions that come to mind when we think about these things, when we consider all of these things we see, this idea of service and right and the hand of God and sacrifice and trust, are all a result of the Apostle Paul knowing the kind of person Philemon was, not because he lived next door to him, not because he went to church with him every Sunday and every Wednesday night, but because he heard about him from other brethren, as well as the relationship he may have had in a personal sense. Question for us, do our brethren understand us? Let me rephrase that. Do my brethren understand me as well as Paul understood Philemon? And we live in the same town. When somebody calls out the name of one of the members here, do you know what kind of person that member is? Not just whether you see them most Sundays or not, but what kind of person they are through the week. We need to know those things. We ought to be able to see those things. If your brethren are not able to see what kind of person you are and know it in their hearts, now certainly there may be a lacking on their part, but first maybe you need to look and make sure there's not a lacking on your part. Maybe you're not the servant that you think you are. Have our deeds in the Lord spread abroad? Folks know what kind of person we are. How will we react? Do the brethren know? When the elders of this congregation come to you to ask you to do something, can they have the kind of confidence that the Apostle Paul had that they can count on you to do it? Or do they have to keep following up? I saw a little sign. Maybe it was a coffee cup. I don't know. You see them in all kinds of ways on the internet now. It said, if I tell my wife I'm going to do something, she doesn't have to remind me every 6 months. I will get it done. Is that how we look at the service we're supposed to be offering to God? As long as somebody keeps reminding me, I'll get it done eventually. Or when they come to me and say, hey, I need this taken care of, you're at it. There is a nod to our salvation in this book also. Think about it. Onesimus received an intercession by the Apostle Paul. He didn't deserve it, but Paul freely offered it. And through this intercession, Onesimus was brought back to his master. Paul willingly offered, not expecting to receive anything at all in return except obedience. Very similar to what Jesus did for us and intercedes on our behalf. We don't deserve it, but he gives it freely anyway. His intercession on our behalf will bring us back to our Creator, our Maker. And the only thing he expects in return is obedience. Read through Philemon twice next time and think about some of the things that are found within it that are helpful to us in serving the Lord. Appreciate your attention this morning. Look forward to speaking to you later in the worship hour. Thank you very much. Thank you.